Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very warm welcome. Pity it's a wee bit damper than it was yesterday, although I see the blue sky coming through, so I think we could be in for another lovely day. It is so good to be able to come together as a church family and worship God. A number of intimations as things start up again. Our prayer meeting started on Friday and the Christian Meditation Group on Saturday. This coming Friday, I'm going to make the prayer meeting from 4:30 till 5:30 because I have another meeting at 6 o'clock. So just in case anybody was coming this Friday to the prayer meeting, it's 4:30 till 5:30, just for the 1 week. The others will continue. I had an email round inviting me to encourage everyone to watch Songs of Praise today. It'll be on at 1:15, and part of the focus is going to be on the Thy Kingdom Come prayer movement that we took a little part of this year and hope to do more next year. So I think that'd be well worth watching while we sit with lunch. 1:15 today. The other thing, in the sermon, I'm going to be showing on the screen a painting. Now, I know that one or two people aren't able to see the screen, so I've got two copies printed out. Would you like to put your hand up if you'd like a printed copy? I was thinking of you, Tom, but I wasn't sure if there was anybody else who would like a printed one as well. There you go. Anybody else? No? Okay. We are here to worship God and to think about holy living this morning. God is love, and we are all God's beloved children. We can only love because he first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. Our psalm to call us to worship this morning is verses from Psalm 49. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp, I will expound my riddle. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. Amen. So our opening hymn is number 129, The Lord is King. Hymn 129.
Thank you.
Well, we're into August now, so not long until the children are back with us. I think not next week, but the one after. So I'm working my way through this book of wisdom stories, and each week I try to find one that relates to the gospel and what I'll be preaching on. And I see a connection with this one, but it's maybe not that obvious. So you can always tell me at the end of the service whether you think it was totally unrelated. The story is called The Fox and the Bear. One day, a man wandered through a forest and came across an injured fox. The poor creature had been pursued by the huntsman and had broken its legs in its efforts to escape. Now it lay in the undergrowth, helpless to find food. The man's heart went out to the fox, but as he watched, a grizzly bear loomed up out of the trees, dragging the carcass of an animal it had killed. The bear appeared to ignore the presence of the wounded fox, but when it shuffled off again after its meal, it left the remains of the carcass close to where the fox was hiding. The fox devoured the meat avidly. The next day, the man walked through the forest again, and again the bear left a tasty morsel behind for the hungry fox. And on the third day, the same thing happened. The man pondered hard over what he had seen. If God cares so much for a wounded fox, he thought, how much more will he care for me? My faith is far too feeble. I must learn to trust in God as this fox trusts. So the man went into a quiet corner of the forest and prayed, Loving Father, this injured fox has shown me what it means to trust you. Now I too commit myself entirely to your care. I trust that you will care for me just as you care for the fox. And with this, he lay down and waited for God to act. A day passed and nothing happened. The man was getting hungry. A second day passed and still nothing happened. The man was deeply puzzled. A third day passed and the man was angry. Father, he cried, you love that little fox more than you love me. Why won't you care for me when I trust you so much? Why don't you feed me? At last, hunger forced him back into the town. There on the streets, the man came upon a starving child. He railed on God in his rage. Why don't you do something? I have done something, God said. I have created you, but you choose to behave like the fox when you could model yourself on the bear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of stories which can open up our minds to different ways of seeing things. Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith and ask that you will help us always to trust in you and also do whatever we can to help others and to help ourselves. Lord, help each one of us to learn to be more like that bear rather than the fox. And let's say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus calls us. He calls us despite the noise, the tumult, the busyness of the world. He calls us to follow him. Hymn 509, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. Realized two intimations that I failed to give. One is it's the first Sunday of the month, so the collection box is out for the flower money. And what reminded me was these beautiful flowers here and the orchids in every windowsill. I don't think many churches have an orchid in every windowsill. They're just beautiful. So thank you very much to everybody in the flower team for that. And the other one is to ask if anybody's a birthday, if they're going to admit it, so we could sing happy birthday, because I know there's one person, but she's not here today. No, it's Ruby's birthday on Tuesday. She wasn't in church last week because she wasn't well, but she phoned to warn me that she wouldn't be here today because her family are taking her out for her birthday. But since she's not here, I don't think we'll sing happy birthday, will we? Or will we sing it and let her know? Let's sing it, yeah. We'll sing happy birthday, Ruby, and if we sing it loud enough, she might hear us. Let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are mighty beyond everything. You are holy and full of love. We marvel at the depth of your love through Jesus Christ. We are privileged to be called your children and accepted. God, you are good, and your faithful love endures forever. Forgive us when we get carried away with the busyness of every day, never stopping to appreciate and dwell in your love. Forgive us when we seek to be fulfilled by the material things of this world, yet fail to live by your promise that you will supply every need according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us with your satisfying grace and love. Remind us of those we need to forgive too, and help us to forgive them. May this time of worship be a time of spiritual renewal and reconciliation, that we may learn to live holy lives, imitating you in all our ways, so that everything we do and say will glorify your name in all the earth. Amen. We come now to our Bible readings. I invite Bill forward. The first reading is from Colossians chapter 3, the first 11 verses. And then our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 to 21.
Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belonged to the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new things, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. The gospel reading is from somewhere, Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all things of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain.' And I say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be. Whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Amen.
Thanks, Bill. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon is the beautiful one, hymn 710, I Have a Dream, a man once said. Martin Luther King, of course. This hymn is based on one of his speeches. Hymn 710, I Have a Dream, where all is perfect peace, where men and women, black and white, stand hand in hand and all unite in freedom and in love. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. It struck me as I was preparing for this sermon that, thanks to the mysteries of our English language, holy living could be spelt two different ways. Laura Jane? Yeah. Oh, sorry. So it can be holy living, or it can be holy living. And in my understanding, these two are pretty much the same. They both mean living as those made alive in Christ, which was the heading of our reading from Colossians. And remember, of course, that Jesus said in John 10:10 that he came to bring life in all its fullness. So as I speak about holy living, it's also about living whole, being whole people. But first, I have a lovely book by Tom Wright, which often gives me ideas towards the sermon. And this week, he told a very funny story. He had been preaching on this particular passage in Luke 12 and had declared quite forcefully that Jesus did not come to settle our property disputes. And then when he arrived home, he found a note from his neighbor telling Tom that his garden shed encroached on the neighbor's land. Well, having listened to his own words, Tom didn't try and dispute this, although he claims he could have done, but simply moved the shed. Now, sometimes at the end of a service, one of you will come and say that it was as if I was speaking directly to you. Well, I just wanted you to know, and I was glad that Tom Wright has the same experience. That happens to the preacher as well. We often get the message, and it's not always what we want to hear. But Tom goes on to make a very powerful point about the beginning of our reading from Luke, where Jesus said, "Who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Now, Jesus is not simply addressing minor squabbles over garden sheds, or between relatives who are arguing over inheritance. Tom claims that Jesus is addressing Israel. And this is what Tom writes. The real target was the Israel that prided herself on national security, claiming more and more territory, ancestral and otherwise, not realizing that her God was asking questions at another level altogether, summoning her back to be the light of the world. And at the end of the paragraph, he further writes, "How can litigious and grasping behavior reflect the generous and forgiving love of God?" Well, it can't, can it? Because that is not holy living, and nor is it holy living. It would be very easy here to slip into judgment of others, but instead I suggest we take time to examine our own lives. Are we living to possess more and more things? Or is our heart open to God, aware of what is really important and of lasting value? Are we, like the man in the parable, more concerned about amassing material possessions than about growing in our relationships with God? What do we find our security in? It might be good for us to reflect on just how much time we give each day to developing our relationship with God and growing in our faith. The parable that Jesus told addresses this, and I found a painting called The Rich Fool. which there's a lot in it, so I'll leave it up while I speak. It's by an American called James Jenkninct, I think. I've put his name up there. And I emailed to ask permission to use it, and he sent me a lovely email back saying he'd be delighted if I used it, but could I please also show you the website so that if you ever want to buy one of his paintings. So I have done. When we look at the parable that Bill read for us, the first thing that I noticed was how often that certain rich man said, I or my. The Bible tells us that his ground had yielded an abundant harvest. And yet it goes on, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. This certain rich man is clearly someone who thinks about himself and not anyone else. Someone who never consults anyone else. Someone who shows no gratitude to God or his workers and has no thought of sharing. Here is someone who is blind to the fact that his life is not his own. We can see in the painting that the rich man on the left is all alone in a big house with all his riches. The only other person there is the grim reaper, while his neighbors on the right live in a far more modest house, but they're gathered as a family round the table. Which of these neighbors would you say is living a holy life? And which one is holy living? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to save for our retirement or future needs, if and when we're able to. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy him and all that he has given us. No. It's all about priorities. Who or what is truly God in our lives? Both Matthew 6 and verse 24 and Luke 16 and verse 13 tell us you cannot serve both God and money. Now, holy living is not about being overly pious, wearing sackcloth and ashes and going around with long faces. Jesus calls us to holy living with a W. Jean's kindly printed on our orders of service some of the fruit of the Spirit, those things which are part of holy living. Gentleness, kindness, compassion, humility, patience, thankfulness. While our reading from Colossians listed the negative attributes of a life not wholly lived. But it's important to note that the first word in our reading from Colossians is since and not if. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. It would be very different if it read, if then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. So it's not that we have to change our ways in order to be raised with Christ or hidden with Christ in God. Rather, it is that since our lives as Christians are now hidden in God, We can, we are enabled to shed everything that contradicts holy living. This Christ-like, holy and holy living affects all our different relationships. And verse 11 reminds us that Christ has eliminated all cultural, religious, socio-economic, and racial barriers. As Paul wrote, Christ is all and is in all, which is one of the reasons that we as a church family are working towards being a fully inclusive church. I'm going to finish now by reading a poem prayer written by Edmund Banyard about that rich fool. Too late. Of course it was too late. It had been too late for years. The young wife who married him so joyously had gradually become disillusioned with his slavery to money-making, his begrudging any item of expenditure beyond the bare essentials. And over the years, she had built up a protective shell around herself. His children had taken the first opportunity to leave home, with scant love for the father who had so little time for them. His neighbors had long since realized that they could look for no neighborly actions from him, and so had left him to his own devices. True, he had grown wealthy, but he had done so at the cost of forgetting how to live. Let's pray. Lord, help us to enjoy the good things of life without becoming enslaved by them. Show us how the gifts you have for us grow in the sharing, and help us to live lovingly and joyfully, ever learning more about your way to abundant life. Amen. Let's continue our worship now with our offerings. Let us pray. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for all that you have done and are doing in our lives and in our community. We thank you for the freedom we have to come and worship, for this building which is infused with the prayers of people over so many years, for our halls which are used for sharing the gospel in very practical ways with so many people. But most of all, we pray, Lord, our thanks for each other, for every member of our church family, those who are here and those who can't be with us today. And Lord, we ask that you use every one of us, along with our worship, our praise, and these, our humble, grateful offerings. Use them all, Lord, for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. As we come to our prayers of others, let us sing a hymn which really is a prayer for others. Hymn 721, We Lay Our Broken World in Sorrow at Your Feet. Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, you are our joy and strength. We adore you and sing of your glory. Generous God, your love sets us free and fills us with your grace so that we can wholly live holy lives. Set our hearts at peace, that we may both trust and be ever thankful for your rich bounty. Give us patient and pure hearts, O God. Generous God, we pray for all troubled by their economic state, for farmers anxious about their crops with the uncertain weather, for the unemployed and poorly paid who feel shut out from access to wealth and feel ignored and uncared for by those around them. In all things, Lord, teach us to celebrate the gifts of your abundant love. Gracious God, you unite us in a common wealth. We pray for our community, for those living in Forth, Climpy, Wilsontown, Brayhead, Auchengray, Tarbrax, and all who live in between. Bind us together, Lord, and expand our charity to reach all your people. Generous God, your compassion extends throughout creation. Hear our prayers for all in any kind of need, especially those who are in hospital. We think particularly of Bobby Hunter and Sarah Ann Brown, those who have recently been discharged, and those who are waiting to be admitted. We think of all who are bereaved, especially all the family and friends of William Meikle. And as we pray for those affected by the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, and by the second shooting just hours later in Dayton, Ohio, we also pray for all that we know and care about and now name in a time of silence. Lord, sustain them all in their troubles and restore in them hope in you. Generous God, you make it possible for us to have holy lives, to live life in all its fullness, both now and in eternity. Help us to set our minds on things above, remembering always that life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Come, Spirit, breathe on us with life and strength anew. Fill us with love and hope and trust, and lift us up to you. Amen. Had a wonderful time last Sunday afternoon speaking to Kay Gardner, who is a candidate in training for ministry and who has come to one or two of our services. And she's just returned from spending 10 weeks doing a placement in Zambia, in the same place where I was many years ago. And my goodness, she brought it all back to me. The We see poverty in our community, but not the level of abject poverty that there is in Zambia. But she also reminded me of the wonderful praise and how the churches are all overflowing. And one of the hymns that was sung, I think, every Sunday when I was there, is the one we're going to close the service with, hymn 512, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Now, as we go out into the week ahead, let's remember to constantly give thanks to God for all our riches, to share them so that we can live holy lives and be whole people, living life in all its fullness. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each and every one of us, those we love, those who love us, and the ones we struggle to love. both today and forevermore.